the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site, covering the Arizona Cardinals. And with me for our first preview show of the week is Seth Cox, my co-host from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, we already did our review of the Seahawks game. I've already recorded my preview show with the former Ravens tight end Daniel Wilcox. Fun fact, he was a high school coach of Jonathan Ledbetter, I found out. Now, that episode, nice. I will drop that episode and get that set up for Saturday. This one will go live on Friday, just as we've been doing. But I mix them up episode numbers, so this is either 478 or 479. Seth, we have some fun stuff to talk about this show. This is just a little bit more than our normal preview, picks and predictions and props, because Kyler Murray is coming back. Yeah, let's lead with that. So Kyler Murray on the injury report listed as a full participant on Wednesday, and then on Thursday off the injury report. Obviously, what that suggests to the world is that he's ready to be activated from PUP and play on Sunday, but that flies in the face of the report that just came out by Ian Rappaport on Sunday, where he said that the Cardinals intend on using almost all, if not all of the three-week practice window, and to peg his return for either November 5th against the Cleveland Browns on their own, seems less likely to me, or November 12th at home against the Atlanta Falcons in Week 10. That seems like a really good match. But could they? What do you think? Like, first, what do you think? I wrote about what it means, but let's talk about what we think. Do you think that Kyler is pushing to be back for a Kyler versus Lamar game at home?
Yeah, potentially, but I think more than anything, it's he's pushing to get reps with the first team so he can start to get that familiarity. It's one of the things we talked about last week, in that basically right now, this is 100% training camp for him. He's getting reps, he's getting used to the offense. I saw a lot of people, you know, they're like, I don't understand, you know, if he's healthy, why wouldn't he just be ready to, or like physically able, why wouldn't he just be ready to go? And it's like, you have to remember, he's not allowed to do anything with the team in terms of
nothing on field. There were no on physical on field.
So like, at he all. Can't, right. He can't even like get under center and take snaps and hand the ball off. Like, that's literally illegal, like, if they get caught. And so at this point, they're just, you know, it's just one of those situations where it's clear that it's getting comfortable with, and he's not even working with the ones as far as we know, obviously.
Yeah, that we knew that there were, Izzy Wolfork, their quarterback's coach, did admit last week he got some first-team reps. Jonathan Gannon laughed that off. He said it was like three. That he was mostly getting reps with the second team. Now, the way the Cardinals do things is they have their game prep stuff. So they've got scout team versus, so their defense versus scout team, office versus scout team, so that they're practicing their game prep stuff. But they also like to do a portion of competitive, so good on good, and, you know, just to keep things competitive. And their padded practices on Thursdays, and that's when all the Cardinals, they always end up getting those new injuries pop up. It's because they have their physical practice. But it looks like, so what they were doing last week for the most part was getting Kyler Murray doing competitive reps against the starting defense, because he needs reps. And so to the closest thing to opponent starting defenses in a game speed setting would be to go against practice and competitive practice reps against your starting defense. Really smart. But like you said, Seth, this is like his training camp. He has had months and months of classroom work, but he has not. He's had now, including Thursday, five physical practices. And while there's people who say, well, Josh Dobbs, he started in week one after having 2 weeks or six practices with the team. There is a slight difference. One, he had been in the offense before. Two, he had an entire physical offseason. So he was getting football reps. He was going under center. He was getting those physical reps and played in the preseason. And so he got game speed live. You know, they like live bullets were flying, even like we like to use the war references with football. And so all he was doing was he had to learn the terminology when he got here and basically the offense and his teammates and all that. And we remember how terrible he looked in week one. That said, isn't it? Fans, there's a lot of fans who are like, why would they hype it if he's not coming back? I'm like, why wouldn't they? It might totally be gamesmanship. Make them prepare for Kyler Murray.
Not only that, but they didn't really hype it. They put out their injury report.
Then the social media team had the eyeball emojis. So they're like, hey, looky here.
Yeah, a little bit of that. It started with Darren, too, by the way, Darren Urban, who wants the least to do with any of that.
And he doesn't know. They do right. not. To be very clear, the Cardinals media department, they do not know. They don't know when the team is going to do things. So it's not like he doesn't have insider information. The closest thing to insider information they get is they do. This is from people I know who have worked with Darren in the past, is that when they sign a player in the offseason, they have a heads up of a few hours or a day before because they have to be the first to have the write-up done. And so they don't release a press release until it's basically they've already got their story written, press release goes out, published story. That's it. So they don't know what the plan for Kyler Murray is. They find out a little bit ahead of everyone else.
Right. And, you know, so I think a lot of this is just going to come down to this, you know, what they want to do, how they want to continue to go about it. And I think, you know, like you said, putting him in a position where he'll have success the first time out. And, you know, I think it was interesting because Gannon has said a couple of times during this whole situation, right, that he's like, I'm glad Kyler wants it, but I, you know, at the end of the day, I'm making the decision, right?
Yeah. Like they have a plan. Kyler knows the plan. And I think they've been very good about that. The one thing we know it means being off the injury report is that the knee is no longer limiting his practice reps. At the knee, like the physical part of the knee, that is not an issue anymore. And being a full participant on Wednesday, and what I wrote about this, it depends on what type of full participation was. If he was getting full participation, first team reps, doing the game prep that Dobbs has been doing for the last 7 weeks, okay, he's going to play. But I do not think for a minute, that they will split first team reps with the game planning stuff where they're practicing against the scout team playing the Baltimore defense. I do not believe for a second that they would activate Kyler and start him if he didn't have a full set of practice reps during the week with the full first team. Unless, and we talked about it, and I don't think they'll do it, but, you know, if they did activate him to be the backup and do two series, that would be something new for a quarterback because they do it with other players. they do it with other players coming off ACLs. They'll limit their snap counts. But yeah, like unless they're planning on playing Kyler a couple of series, I don't see any chance of that happening. And maybe rolling him in that. But if the report was on Sunday, and these are national reporters, don't go with things unless they're pretty on track. And the Cardinals, so local reporters don't scoop anything because the front office only talks with national reporters. And so when Rappaport comes out and says expect him in November, I would expect him in November.
Right. And, you know, it's one of those situations, too, where this is the next home game. And so I think if this would have been 2 weeks ago, this is when we would have seen him. But you and I have basically said from the beginning, like, the dates that made the most sense were always Baltimore or Atlanta, right? Just right. From a being at home situation. And that Atlanta game makes a lot of sense because you kind of look at it.
Well, Atlanta's and think of anything else. James Conner will be back. Well, that we anticipate he'll be back. And you know what? You need, especially if they look how bad Dobbs has been without James Conner. If there's one thing you want to do when Conner comes back is make sure he's protected with the run game. And you need that with Conner. Now, we don't know what else is going to happen. Other guys might get hurt or whatnot, but you need Conner back. And that's the perfect way. It's the perfect way to do that. You get Kyler, you have Conner back. And so then you've got a game where you are fully locked and loaded on offense against an Atlanta team that is, it's a team you're like, are they good?
Right. And you look at it and you go, you've got Atlanta, then you go to Houston in what's going to end up being a big game just for draft pick purposes. Then you have LA, who is, you know, as we've seen, kind of a up and down team. You know, they're at home. And then that at Pittsburgh game, that'll be a really interesting game, but that's, you know, one we'll get to as we get closer, but it'll be a really interesting game for that. But, you know, you look at it, I think it's the best way to do it because then you get the bye right after that, right? And so then you finish with obviously a tough San Francisco team, but it's at home, like you said. At Chicago could be a huge game from an implications of draft picks, and then at Philly, and we know that's going to be a really tough one, so we'll go from there. And so it just makes sense. You know, you kind of give him a mini bye. You know, he plays an 8-game season. You look at it, and you know, they'll probably be sitting at 1-8 at that point, right?
Yes, for sure.
And so you look at it, and you go, all right, get us to 5 wins. Like, get us to 5-12, and people will be like, well, that's terrible. But if you go 4-4 the back half with your starting quarterback, with a team that was 1-9 before he came back, or 1-8
that would be that's perfect. Honestly, have to go. That's a perfect way to go.
Right. So you have to be excited about it.
Coming up next on the Rise of Syria podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's talk about this. Let's preview the game. Let's look at the Baltimore Ravens, what they do and how they do it. That's coming up next on Rise Up C-Red. We're back on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Cardinals-Ravens, this is our preview show, previews, picks, prop bets. And so we're on the preview part. Baltimore is good, okay? 5-2, they had a couple of stinky losses earlier in the season, but let's be very clear. Baltimore is good, and if last week is a preview of anything moving forward, the Ravens are a legitimate Super Bowl contender if they have rolled into form. They're 5-2. As you're going to hear on my second show when I talked to Daniel Wilcox, this is a Ravens team where it isn't defense, defense, defense. So the defense isn't like a calling card. And even still, through 7 games, they are number one in points allowed. They allow the fewest points per game in the entire NFL, 13.9, and they are number 2 in yards allowed. So for a team where the defense is not supposed to be like the center focus, that's a damn good defense.
It's kind of crazy, man, to look at it. You know, we talked about Seattle last week, and we were both obviously super impressed with the running game and getting anything out of that running game against what was going into that game, I believe, the number two overall rushing defense in the NFL. And, you know, they outrushed Seattle in that game. And we've talked about a lot of that. It comes down to getting some running from Josh Dobbs and whatnot. But you go into this game, you're talking about the number one scoring defense, less than two touchdowns a game. You know, you're talking about one of the best yard defenses, number two, in fact, overall in the NFL.
They lead the NFL in sacks, 29 sacks in seven games. That is a lot. And let's look at some of the numbers, okay? 5.5 sacks from Justin Madubuike, 3.5 from Patrick Queen, 3.5 from Jadeveon Clowney, a very good edge defender who doesn't put up a lot of sacks, and he's got 3.5 sacks in seven games. Kyle Hamilton, a safety, has 3. Kyle Vannoy, a 32-year-old linebacker, has 3. A guy I've never, like their cornerback, Arthur Mallett, has 2. Roquan Smith has 1.5 sacks, and they have 4 or 5 other guys. They have 6 other guys with a sack. They have 29 sacks that leads the NFL, and they're doing it from everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So you look at it, you know, they're number two in passing yards and number one in pass touchdowns allowed. They're number 9 in rushing yards allowed and number 2 in rushing touchdowns allowed. And a lot of it comes down to that they're playing from ahead, right? And so NFL teams get on this weird kick where they're like, well, we can't continue to run the ball. We're losing. And you look at the games that have been close or even losses for them. And outside of that Pittsburgh game where it was just kind of an anomaly, obviously the three turnovers helped Pittsburgh. I think they had, what, 2 defensive scores in that game or at least 1. You look at it, yeah, they had they forced the safety. You know, they had a bunch of Chris Boswell field goals. Pittsburgh did. Like, it wasn't like their offense played well. Their offense was very Arizona Cardinals-ish, if you will, in that game, getting 3 turnovers and not really scoring a whole lot of points from it. But you look at it, the 2 games that have been kind of close or a loss, they lost to Indy in overtime, and Indy ran for 139 yards rushing. And then the game before, Detroit against Tennessee ran for 129 yards and only lost 24-16. There's a reality here. If you can run the ball, keep Lamar Jackson and that talented offense off the field, you can run the ball against this defense. And you might say, well, they're number 2 in or number 9 in rushing yards allowed.
They're very average in yards per 4.2. They're very average. Like, what is it, 15? 15 in the league. They're right in the middle.
They're down to 19, actually. So, like, that's the thing is keep them off the field. But it's easier said than done, right?
Like, right. Then that's – well, and I think that's where – I think where the Cardinals game plan early might find success. That said, they force turnovers. They have the Ravens have 7 takeaways over their last 4 games, 3 in the last 2. And
that's a huge thing because you look at it, that's the first game they forced 2 turnovers against Houston, who, let's be honest, first game for a rookie, weren't very good. Then against Cincy, they forced a turnover, but then in that loss to Indy, they didn't force any. And like you said, correct, 7 in the last 4, 3 against Cleveland in what was a beat down. I mean, they just beat down the Browns. And then they only forced 1 last week against Detroit. But again, that game was never even close.
Nope.
Like, it never felt like Detroit even belonged on the field with them.
And that's where Lamar Jackson comes in, because their offense has been okay. And Lamar Jackson has been pretty good. But last week's game, 357 passing yards, 3 touchdown passes, and a rushing touchdown. He looked like MVP Lamar Jackson. And if that is anything like the future of the rest of this season, then the Ravens are going to be some team to be reckoned with for the rest of the year. And Oh my gosh. If Lamar plays anything close to that, the Cardinals will absolutely get blown out of the water at home.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those situations you look at it, it sucks. And the way he played last week, thank God it happened last week.
Yes. They had their get right game. So please don't get righter.
Right. And that's kind of what you look at it as, is that this is just a team that it's unfortunately they're just better at literally every position on the field from a talent perspective.
It's true.
Than the Arizona Cardinals. And if their offense is getting more in tune, then it's going to be even a more difficult situation, because you look at it, you know, they've got two guys over 300 yards rushing in Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson. You know, receiving wise, it hasn't been great, but it hasn't been bad. Zay Flowers looks like what, you know, we kind of expected him to look like coming out, 442 yards. Mark Andrews is one of the, what, top 3 to 5 tight ends in the
NFL.
5
touchdown catches so far.
Yeah. And he's still averaging, you know,
almost 13 yards a catch.
Yeah, and 60 yards per game. So he's on pace for another 1,000-yard season.
Odell's done nothing, but...
No, but...
And
I mean,
here's the thing. Well, yeah. Well, jeez. Yeah, so Odell, for what we know, he still hasn't done anything, and that's kind of scary. Because, like, I don't want to say Odell's washed up. But he's going to be going against Marco Wilson, so yeah.
It's just a difficult matchup, and we knew it was coming into the season. It's gotten increasingly more difficult as the season's gone along. And you look at it, and that meshes with what is going on in Vegas. I know we're about to touch on it, but the line has moved 1.5 points in the last day.
So is it up to 10 now?
9.5 now.
9.5.
Yeah, so it was at 8. It opened at 8, moved up to 8.5, dropped to 7.5.
That had to be, wasn't that yesterday? That was right after the Kyler injury report thing. It had to be.
Yeah, and then it's back up to 9.5 today.
Because people are raising, nah, he's not coming back.
Well, not just that, but like down to 7.5, people are like, bet the Ravens. Like,
yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And this Ravens team is incredibly talented. They don't really have any weaknesses. The weakness is if Lamar's not right. And if Lamar is right, this offense is fantastic. You could blame some of the offensive slowness. They didn't play their starters in the preseason. And so the first few games was their preseason in a new offensive system with Todd Monken. The defense has been exceptional. And that in fact, let's go to that, because there's matchups and keys. So coming up next on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's move to the next segment where we talk about keys and the matchups, because there's lots of them. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sierra. We're back on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. We've talked with Seth Cox. Talking about we talked about Kyler, the potential return. We talked about the preview or preview the Ravens, kind of look at who they are. Let's look at individual matchups. These are there's some big ones in this one. And like Zay Flowers and the Cardinals did a really good job and did not let a receiver go off against Seattle. Are they going to be able to do that this week? Or is Zay Flowers going to go bonkers? Or is this the game that Odell has a monster game?
No, I think it'll be a Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, kind of, you know, Gus Edwards / Lamar rushing game.
So we're eyes are on Garrett Williams, perhaps, or maybe Jalen Thompson, perhaps, is back.
Now, where is Zay? I mean, they move Zay around.
He does. He gets moved around a lot, but I think he is, like, his primary spot is the slot, I would guess. But if I was told they do move him around a lot, which means a lot of guys will get some looks against him. But we like to peg individual matchups, because that's not nearly as much as to say, all the Cardinals cornerbacks against
yeah,
Trey
so,
Flowers.
So you look at it when he's in the – obviously when he's in the slot. So he's been 146 snaps in the slot and 260 snaps out wide. So I think when he's in the slot, it's going to be more Garrett, right? It's got to be unless
– Unless Jalen's back in there. And I wonder if with Thompson back, if they will make him safety. I was like, I don't like – that's another thing to see because last week the question was who's in the slot, okay? This week, because we had Jalen Thompson and Antonio Hamilton were both out, so if Thompson is back, does that push Williams to the bench? Or does that change Thompson's role so that you go with Buddha Thompson in the back, and then you go with Star, Marco, and Garrett playing corner, as opposed to having Andre Sacheré in the defensive backfield? I'm not sure which I'd like better, but like I like the potential. I like the potential of using Garrett Williams, so that the youth and the potential there more than having Sacheré in the back. But that'll be an interesting thing is where Williams falls with everything once guys are healthy.
Right.
That's what I'm interested in.
So, you know, obviously you have Zay when he's in the slot, you're looking at Williams or Williams or Thompson. But let me ask you this, because most of Mark Andrews' time is in the slot as well. So if they're going double slot, like when they go four wide with Andrews and Zay in the slot together, you have to put Thompson on Andrews more, right? Or at least on that side.
You would
from a size comparison.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. Now
I wonder if they've played against each other, going back to Zay and Garrett in college. I'm going to look real quick. Go ahead.
I was wondering if you're looking at Odell, if you'd rather see, assuming that, well, and the depth chart shows it, they actually shows it, Starling Thomas, that is, getting the first, he's now ahead of Keytrell Clark on the depth chart. So would you rather see Star Thomas or Marco Wilson on Odell? And my guess is with what the Cardinals do, they won't have him because Marco really struggled against Ja'Marr Chase, like lots of people do, when he was following him. If they will just go with, you've got a side, you've got a place, you have a zone. But would you rather see Marco or Star on Odell?
I think Marco, I don't, just because Odell hasn't been good this year. So I think you can get away with Marco versus Rashad Bateman or Nelson Aguilar, who've really been, you know, a little bit more productive, especially Aguilar. He's got two touchdown receptions. Like, I don't know if I necessarily want to leave that up to chance. It's tough though with how poorly Marco's played until this last week, right?
Yeah, we do know this, you know, if he can get some technical consistency, he has the tools to be absolutely great, but he's also so wildly inconsistent. Like his bad is bad and his good is great. That's where, like, when like we go back to Patrick Peterson, most of the time, so his good was great, but even his bad up until just the last, like the last year and a half, his bad was just not bad. His last year here, his bad was bad. Now he has picked it up because of, I believe they're scheming him better in his new, you know, since the Vikings and the Steelers, because he was really good with the Vikings, and I think it was the scheme helped him with that. But that you want to bring the floor up, and that's been the problem with Marco, is that the floor was being very low.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's the issue. I think ideally he's covering Bateman when Bateman's in, and then you can kind of readjust from there. But they play so much zone anyways, right?
Yeah,
that it's just you want him not having to worry about covering Zay in a straight line race because he's probably going to lose.
Yeah. There's lots of good matchups to look at on the front. Justin Madubuike up against Will Hernandez is going to be a big one. Jadeveon Clowney against Paris Johnson is going to be a big one up front. Yeah, I think those are the big ones. And then also, obviously, we also want to see, and this is not for matchup purposes. This is like, so is Tristan Colon the starter now?
Well, not just that, but you have a couple other ones. I mean, one, you have Josh Dobbs, assuming he's still starting against Geno Stone. Geno Stone's the safety for the Ravens. You know, they play a ton of zone matchup, and he leads the NFL in interceptions this year. And so when that's happening, how is he going to handle it? What's he going to be able to do against Stone? Can he win the individual matchup, or is Stone going to be able to bait him into some bad plays? Like, he has a number of quarterbacks, including, you know, Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill a couple weeks ago, and then Deshaun Watson. So, like, it's not like it would be a surprise or, you know, anything negative about Dobbs, but that's going to be a big one. And then, can anybody block Roquan Smith? I mean, he's literally probably been the best linebacker in the NFL this year. He's just been all over the place. He's coming off an all-pro season. He makes that defense go both offensive or both against the run and the pass. So when Trey McBride is going into routes, is McBride able to win against Roquan Smith? Because he's done a fantastic, I mean, you look at Sam Laporta last week, the rookie tight end from the Lions, and he had Laporta in hell. I mean, just in complete hell in that game. You know, he finished with 6 catches for 52 yards, but like that was his second worst game of the season after you look at the week before in Tampa. And of course we know Tampa and their linebackers are phenomenal in coverage as well. So it's just one of those situations you look at, can they win against this, like you said, elite defense? You talked about Madubuike, you talked about Jadeveon. I mean, they just have so much. Is DJ Humphreys up for it against Odafe Owe? Who's had, what'd you say, now, 3.5 sacks this year?
Interestingly enough, it popped up on the injury report for Baltimore on Thursday. Same with Odell. Limited on Thursday for Odell with his shoulder, Owe with an ankle. So those midweek injuries are those always the ones you're like, ooh, what happens? Like DK last, well, DK, he was already into the end of the week, but those are ones that always pop up. You're like, oh, how's that going to affect things?
Yeah, and, you know, the other one that you have to look at is, can Josh Dobbs protect his teammates? Because Kyle Hamilton is going to try to kill somebody. I mean, he does it every game.
I can't wait to see Hollywood. There's one guy that I want to see. Hollywood wants to have a big game. So please, Dobbs, get him the ball. Connect with him. He's going to go up against, I mean, Baltimore's got 2 really good cornerbacks, but he's been cooking everyone. He's been getting behind everybody. And maybe that's a little bit by design, because they don't trust, no one trusts Dobbs to be able to complete those passes now. But I guess that's the one guy I want to see. And my eyes are always on the Cardinals edge guys, but Baltimore's tackles, you know, Morgan Moses is having a good year, and Ronnie Stanley is rounding into form. Ronnie Stanley, one of the best tackles a few years back. Injuries and injuries and injuries have beset him.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it, there's rumors, and hopefully those rumors are not true until after the game on Sunday, but there's rumors that, you know, the Ravens are making overtures about Derrick Henry. Obviously, you
no, do no, 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 no. You can't do that. You can't give Lamar Jackson Derrick Henry.
Right.
No.
And you obviously do what's best for your team, but like, you look at their rushing totals per game, they don't need Derrick Henry. Even, I mean, remember J.K. Dobbins blew his his Achilles in the first game. And since that game, they're averaging 145 yards per game rushing. 145, I think that's fairly close to what the Cardinals average per game passing. So, like, they're, like, it's just, like Jess said, you can run through the entire Tyler Linderbaum. Their center has been, you know, fantastic. They obviously, you mentioned Ronnie Stanley. They've done a great job kind of building this roster around their talent and, you know, finding guys that fit with what Lamar does well, and finding guys that fit, that can fit in that offense. They went and signed a veteran in Morgan Moses, you know, Kevin Zeitler. Like, you look at what they have on their O-line, and it's this beautiful mix of power and speed and the ability to, and young and old. And, like, it's just, it's a class A in team building. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a game where it's going to, you know, demand a lot of Josh Dobbs to not make mistakes, but also to be able to move the ball consistently for them to stay in the game, because they're going to have to keep pace offensively. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You look at what they've done this year, the Ravens, they're just really, really good at scoring points. And, you know, the Cardinals
are not.
Yeah.
There's no good way to put it. They were, because they were putting up 28 points, you know, 28 points against, you know, the Giants, 28 points against the Cowboys. They put up 19 against San Francisco and should have had 26 based on the end of that game. So, but, you know, they still scored 20 against the Bengals, but after that, it has just been a struggle bus. It's been the bus of struggle since that point. And so I guess key-wise, I guess number one, they've got to start fast, right? And they have to score early points, and they have to keep trying to run the ball, right? They can't get away. They can't afford to get away from running the ball. There's no way for them if they get away from the running game, they will probably score 3 points.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, and we're going to talk about it shortly, but the over-under in this game is 44.5. And I, in my weekly conversation with the enemy, I said the over-under is 44.5. Do the Ravens score over 40? Where that's attainable, or do they have such a defensive letdown that they allow the Cardinals to score 10 or more? And that's because it doesn't feel like it just doesn't feel like there's any way that the Cardinals can get it to 24-21, right? Like, it just, that seems like such a mountain to climb the way they've played, especially the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It seems like we have the same keys every week, right? They can't turn the ball over. They can't afford that, period. They have to force turnovers.
I think this is the first week, though, that we've said that they have got to run the ball well. Like,
yeah,
and we talk about
the only way, because I keep saying this, you can mark Josh Dobbs' decline in the passing game directly with losing James Conner. And last week they, quote unquote, ran the ball well, but it was an impactful run. And so they're having to gimmick their way to yards with Dobbs scrambles and Rondale Moore in the backfield. And that's different. And while that's important for the run game, it's not the same as getting tough yards. And DeMarcado did fine, you know, 58 yards, 13 carries. But they're going to need 75 yards from their running backs to, like, if we're just looking at the running backs only and then have the gimmick yards after that, they need 75 yards from their running backs to even be in a conversation of staying competitive.
Right. And you know, they're going to have to, just limit the hell out of because I mean, if the Ravens, and I'm going back to last week against Seattle, if the Ravens get the same amount of drives, the Seahawks had 10 drives, and then we can call it 9 without that without the kneel downs at the end of the game. So 9 drives. It feels like, I know this is crazy, but it feels like at least 5 of those are touchdown drives with how they played last week. And remember, Jess and I talked about this to begin with. They did that against Detroit last week. So that's not like it's not a joke. Like, that's how good this offense can be when they're on, and they've already shown it twice this year.
Yeah, that's rough. Coming up next on the Rise of Secret Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on to our last segment. Let's make our actual predictions and picks and talk about some prop bets, though there aren't as many as we would like. That's coming up next on Rise of Secret. Back on the Rise of Secret Podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Time to talk picks and predictions. I it sounds like it's safe to say that you do not think the Cardinals were backdoor cover this week. Am I correct?
No, I'm giving up on that pipe dream. You know, it was a good 3 week, or what was it, 5 week run, and then it's really gone downhill since then. And every, the fact that we can't even call the first half part or the first half money
no,
lines.
Not making that prediction this week. Cause...
yeah, it's unfortunate because those both felt like great small wins for us and as the situation was going, and now and here's a couple things to know. You can bet quarters obviously and things like that. So the Ravens have covered in every second quarter of the season. They're -3.5 in the second quarter as of right now, +105. So take that. You know, that's obviously an easy one. You look at the first half total points at 22.5. I would take the over in the first half just because that's tends to be when the Cardinals score their points, right? Like what we've seen from them throughout this year. They haven't scored in 3 games now since Cincy, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
And so you know, if you're comfortable betting the over 44.5 in general, then that's on you. That's a, you know, that's a decision you'll make, but you have to understand that it's very unlikely. And I mean, the last 3 games, the Cardinals have scored 6 combined points in the second half, and all 6 of those came against Cincy. It's just, yeah, it feels daunting to see that number move in any direction. So, you know, I don't mind the over 22.5. I would not take the over in the game.
My score prediction is 28-13. And this is with the defense continuing to play very hard. And I think it also leads to they start running the ball a lot. And so a very methodical run game, it's going to slow things down, and they just won't have the chance to hit the 30. So yeah, I don't love the over for that. Player props are few and far between for the Cardinals. Although here's an interesting stat. You've got Mark Andrews coming in. You've got Mark Andrews coming into this weekend with 5 touchdowns. You know what the Cardinals have not done yet this year? They have not allowed a touchdown to a tight end.
So something's got to give this week.
Yeah, so let me see. So we've got total combined touchdowns. Mark Andrews. This one is an interesting one. Combined touchdowns, Amari DiMarcado and Mark Andrews. Under half a touchdown, +135. If we look at the trends here, because the Cardinals have not given up a tight end touchdown. And, you know, DeMarcado, he's probably not going to score. I don't know.
You would assume he won't. But, I mean, you know, crazier things have happened. It's interesting that there's no player touchdown bets yet in this, at least on DraftKings. You know, there are, like you said, passing touchdowns, but no rushing or receiving touchdown or any time or first or anything like that.
I do say over on Lamar Jackson's 231.5 passing yards.
Yeah, there's a that seems
that's really low.
That seems
yeah. That's really low.
I also like him over 1.5 passing touchdowns. I know he doesn't throw, or if they get close, he doesn't always throw the ball. But again, I think we're talking 5 or 6 touchdowns in this game. And so, you know, I think they're going to have the opportunity to kind of replicate what we saw last week where they won 38-6 type stuff. By the way, that still doesn't get us to the over. Even if
I know. Like 38-3, still the under, guys. Still the under.
And so you look at it, you know, he threw one to Aguilar, two to Mark Andrews, and then he had a rushing touchdown, and Gus Edwards had a rushing touchdown. I think you're going to see something similar to that this week. So on DraftKings right now, it's plus 105. So it's plus money to get him over 1.5 touchdowns. I like that. I like his over passing and rushing yards because it's only 284.5. I would take that up to 300 because I just feel like he's going to put up a 75, you know, 250 type of game against the Cardinals. The only thing that Jess and I will both caveat everything with is if they're up, if somehow they're up like 35 or 40 at the end of the third quarter, and so they pull everybody, like that's the caveat, right? Where they don't have to, because I mean, in last week's game when they were up 35-0, they were still throwing the ball, still, you know, taking shots against the Lions. It may get out of hand more quickly. It could get out of hand more quickly if they play just as well as they have. The last Lamar prop that I like, and you notice we're not talking about the Cardinals. Well, it's hard when they don't have any prop.
That's the thing, is that there are no Josh Dobbs props. There's passing props. There's no rushing props other than like combined rushing props with
we
there,
do have
there
a
are
couple
receiving props. I do like Hollywood over 49.5. Especially this is a going back. This is playing his old team. He's going to want to have a good game. I'm not super confident, but I think it will happen because they will. I think they'll scheme for that. I don't know if it'll be on big plays, so I wouldn't go with like longest reception, but in volume, I think he'll hit 50 yards.
Well, and I think there's a couple other ones. I think Michael Wilson over 28.5. Again, it's not going to be
Two catches. He'll have two catches for 35 yards.
Yeah, it's not going to be about big plays, but it could be about, you know, at the end of game or, you know, desperation, throwing the ball some. I would stay away from Trey McBride's number this week. Like I said, Roquan Smith, fantastic. If you can get a combined number for Rondale Moore, look at it. Anything in the 25 range. We only have over under receiving yards at 26.5. I'd stay away from just his plain receiving yards. But if you can get a combined rush receiving in the 25.5 to 31.5 range, I would take that number. And then another interesting one, Lamar to throw an interception is plus 120. You look at his season thus far, you know, he's been good, but he's got 3 interceptions. And in the interception games have come against Houston, Pittsburgh, who has a good defense, and Tennessee. So it's not like he's thrown interceptions against the really good teams. So would that be something you would look at with plus money? I mean, and as much as they're probably going to throw the ball in this game?
You know, no, probably not this week. I mean, maybe it's worth laying a few bucks on just because of the odds. But like, I have so little faith in this Cardinals defense.
And then once the Dobbs numbers come out, I'm gonna guess it's gonna be a real bad bad number.
188.5.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to guess his his interception number is going to be like -175.
Right. Yes. Like it would be, over half, over 0.5, and it's -250.
Right. If you can get, and I've never seen them do over 1.5, like more than one interception, but if they do it and it's plus money, I would still take it, honestly. Like, and that's, again, not a shot at Dobbs. I just think
that's just money. It's not about her heart. That's just about the money.
Right. And so those are, this is a tough week because it's literally Thursday and there's barely any numbers for Cardinals. The other one I wanted to ask you about, Matt Prater, point after attempts made, his under 1.5 is -110. That feels like a good bet because that's them scoring one touchdown.
That's not bad. That's not bad. And my score prediction goes with that. So if you could, right, you could go with that plus over 1.5 field goals at +120.
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to go crazy and parlay the two together and make for a really nice positive odds.
Right. I think both of those are really good bets because, like we said, I don't expect them to score a bunch of touchdowns. I'll be quite frankly shocked if they score more than one.
Right.
And unless they get a defensive or special teams type touchdown, but offensively.
I could see one scenario where they get more than one touchdown, and that would be they got an early touchdown playing well early, and then a garbage time touchdown.
100%. You're exactly right. That's how that would work out if it were to work out that way.
And so, and even still, so you look at I've got 28-13 in a world I could see I was pointing out that there were some really crazy, correct score ones that you could go on. There's some crazy ones that you can do, like correct score. And here's some fun ones. Like if I'm pegging about 13 points for the Cardinals and the Ravens still cover. So I'm looking at 27-13 is +12,500. That seems a very palatable possibility. Or if you want to go to 30-13 +17,500. Or 31-13, which I think mathematically makes a lot of sense. It's four touchdowns and a field goal +15,000. With all four of those bets, like if I'm gonna try one of these crazy ones, I am hedging by putting a little bit on all four of those. On 27-13, 30-13, 31-13, and 33-13 at 30 plus 35,000. Because if you hit on any one of them,
That's a good day.
Yeah. It don't matter.
Yeah, it ends up being a really good day. Yeah, and that's what I mean. And I'm looking at this. I think this one goes 35 to 7. The Ravens win. I don't think it's close. I don't think it's particularly competitive. And I don't think that the Cardinals get more than that garbage time touchdown. And hopefully the
you're not liking the field goal prop this week.
I do like it. I just don't know.
Like it's a good bet, but that's not your prediction.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like typically I can see this team usually getting to 10 to 13 points this week. It's going to be tough to see.
Unless Blake Gillikin again is a moron and can't get the laces out. Oh my gosh. Prater was like, I don't know if he was more upset at himself, but he was livid on the sideline after his missed field goal.
Yeah. So we'll see how this all works out. Like we said, this is one of the more depressing episodes we've had. And quite frankly,
so go make some money, make some bets against the Cardinals, make some money,
reason to watch the game.
That's right. Bet the Ravens to cover. Don't bet the total because it could go either way. Because if they put up a 40 spot, that just means a single touchdown. will get you the over. I like the under, but I'm not betting the under.
Right, exactly.
All right, with that, this will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Syria podcast. Best of Cardinals talk on the web. We have our special guest show coming up tomorrow. And then Seth and I will be back on Tuesday night, so you'll hear it on Wednesday. The show will drop on Wednesday when we'll be talking about a review of the Cardinals and Ravens. Hopefully it's not too terrible. But yeah, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening as always. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.